Thank you. Again, we come to our studies in 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, I've been thinking about how fast we're going on this second chapter. When I think of the tremendous things Peter is saying about the believer, because of our relationship to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and because he has become the foundation, not only for his church, but for us as individual believers, that we're built upon the rock Christ Jesus, this rock which never ebbs or flows, and that being a living stone and we come in contact with him, we in turn become living stones, he the cornerstone. And then he goes on to say in the passage that we have become a holy priesthood. We were living stones, and then the second thing was we become a temple. As he said here, a spiritual house in verse 5, and now we are a holy priesthood. Holy because we're joined to him, cleansed and sanctified. You know, I love that verse in Romans 1, 7, which says, beloved of God, called saints. That means holy ones, same word. Hagios means to be holy. And we are a community of priests. All believers belong to a holy priesthood. He never calls us to be priests, but he calls some to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers, but all believers belong to the holy priesthood. We may have different gifts and different callings, but we all belong to the same community of priests, our Lord being the high priest, as you find, you remember, in the book of Hebrews. We are a holy priesthood. And being a holy priesthood, we must offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, in our study, you remember some time ago in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, where we were dealing with this fact that we offer up spiritual sacrifices. For example, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 to 16, we offer the sacrifice of praise. We offer the sacrifice of our gifts. These are acceptable to God. Now, it's no sacrifice for me to praise the Lord when I just feel so wonderful and see how God has answered prayer, or see some tokens of his faithfulness and of his grace and his love. Anyone can praise God then. But when things don't go right and still praise the Lord, this is a sacrifice of praise. You see, that's hypocrisy. No, it isn't. When I can praise the Lord even when I don't feel like it. My heart realizing that he is worthy of all praise, irrespective of how I feel. This is well-pleasing to God. Likewise with one's gifts. Do you give as a sacrifice? It kind of gets right down to the pocketbook, doesn't it? And then in Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, we ought to give our bodies as a sacrifice unto him, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Now, this is a question of the fact that we are a holy priesthood offering up the sacrifice, a continual sacrifice of a life poured out for God, a life lived before God. Just like the priests in the old tabernacle, you remember in the book of Leviticus and Exodus, you find where the priests ministered unto the Lord. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 13, down there at Antioch, where the disciples were gathered together, and as they were ministering to the Lord said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work I have called them. We are God's priests to offer up sacrifices. And then he says we are also a chosen generation. In verse 9, we are a chosen generation. That is, we were picked up by God to do this work. I suggest John chapter 15, verse 16, where he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. He chooses us to be a particular race of people. I said in a few lessons past, we are a new race of people, born of the Word of God, born of the Spirit of God, born of God himself, a permanent, wonderful, eternal relationship to God. We are a chosen generation, or, if you please, a chosen race. That's where it is, and being that, we should be obedient. And then he says in the fourth thing, we are a royal priesthood. Mark these, will you? We are living stones. We are a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood. We're a chosen generation, a chosen race of people. And now, fourthly, we are a royal priesthood. A spiritual monarchy, if you please. A kingdom of priests. You find that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Where we are to be not only cleansed by the blood of Christ, but we are not only priests unto God, but we are a kingdom of priests. Where every believer in the kingdom of God is a priest unto God. Holy priesthood, because we've been cleansed. A royal priesthood, because we belong to his family. You remember, if I may just digress for a second, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, I think it is, where we read that Jesus Christ is going to build his temple, and he shall be a priest upon the throne. A royal priesthood. We found this in the book of Hebrews. There are two priesthoods in the Bible. There's the Aaronic priesthood, which is a holy priesthood, and then there is a royal priesthood, which is the Melchizedek priesthood. Our Savior qualified to be a holy priest because of his sacrifice. And he qualified for the Melchizedek priesthood because of his kingliness. He belonged to the royal tribe, to the royal house of David. He was a king priest. The believer, here we have in verse 5, we are a holy priesthood set apart for God. And now we are a royal priesthood because we belong to the royal family. I'm telling you, my friend, we are God's people, in God's sight at least, if in nobody else's sight. Every child of God in God's sight is wonderful, is his child, is his redeemed one, the object of his love and affection, and the one in whom God is going to dwell forever. We are a spiritual house built up of living stones to be a temple, a tabernacle of God through the Spirit. A royal priesthood belonging to the Melchizedek priesthood. Not only a holy priesthood, but a royal priesthood. You remember in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, God said to Israel when they came out of Egypt, if you will be obedient, I will make you a kingdom of priests. You'll be a kingdom for my possession, a people for my possession, and a kingdom of priests. But you remember they were disobedient. Now, when you come to the book of Isaiah 61, I find in the kingdom, in the millennium kingdom, the nation Israel are going to be priests unto God. But today, every individual believer is a member of a holy priesthood, of a royal priesthood. What for? To bring forth, that which he has for us. So we have here, we are a chosen generation, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Not only chosen, but holy, cleansed, set apart for God, different from any other people in the world. Now, Israel should have been that. But in their disobedience and rebellion against God, they were scattered. And God, and for the last 1900 years, has been calling out a people that are his people, and he calls them a holy nation, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and then we read, we are to be a people for his possession. That word there, a peculiar people. Now, that doesn't mean we're peculiar in the sense of things we do. We might be peculiar, but that's not the thought here. A people for his possession. Now, you find this, for example, in Titus 2:14, where he redeemed us out of all iniquity, that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, or a people for his possession. This is what we have in this verse. We are a people for his possession, specially set apart for God himself. Now, you know, this may not strike you very forcibly, but when I remember that, numerically speaking, the people on earth is just a little wee spot in God's universe. There are myriads upon myriads of holy angels. There are myriads upon myriads of principalities and powers. There are myriads of evil spirits and wicked spirits and fallen angels and demons. One can't begin to count. The human language in mathematics doesn't have the numbers to count. The innumerable company of angels, innumerable companies of powers and principalities in the heavenlies. But God has picked up you and me, redeemed sinners, made us members of the body of Christ, building us up a spiritual house, making us a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. What for? To be a chosen race of people, to be a holy nation, cleansed and set apart for God, different from everybody else in the universe, different from Old Testament saints, different from millennial saints, different from Jewish saints. Church is an entity. It's what God's doing today. We are a holy, a royal priesthood. We are to be a people for His possession. You remember that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20? Verse 19 says, don't you know that your body is the sanctuary of God? The sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, you're not your own. You belong to Him. You've been bought with a price. What price? The precious blood of Christ. I repeat it, my Christian friend, oh, that I could get it into your heart. Only the Spirit of God can do this, I know. For you to take your position as a child of God, a member of the body of Christ, indwelt by the Spirit of God, a peculiar possession of God, a chosen race of people, eternal, eternal as the Word of God, eternal as God Himself. You become joined to the eternal sovereign God. God grant it to get a hold of us. And the only reason I'm down here on earth and the only reason you're down on earth, because we belong up there, is to have a job to do, to tell somebody else to come in on it and accept the good news from God that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now this is a faithful saying and worthy of everybody's acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Friend, has it ever got a hold of you? Christian friend, since when did you witness for the Savior? Since when did you tell somebody else about the Lord? Since when were you filled with praise and thanksgiving to God just because of your relationship to Him, that you're the objects of His love? What for? And the verse tells us that we might show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We who at one time were not a people of God, but are now the people of God. At one time we had no mercy. Now we've obtained mercy. What's the purpose of it all? Why did He make us a holy priesthood, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession? Why did He buy us and set us apart, cleanse us, sanctify us? Why? Put His Spirit in us. Delights to call us His children, the objects of His love. What for? That we might show forth the virtues of the Savior. We might publish abroad throughout the whole world that He's the one who takes us out of darkness into light. As Colossians 1:13 says, He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He took us out of that place where darkness reigned and put us in the place where light and life reigns. Because we're now His people, we ought to show forth His virtues. Who else in the world? Not angelic beings. You'd be scared of them. Not demons, certainly. Where can God show forth His virtues and His praises and His character and His love except through you, except through me? And I'm sure that most of us can hang our heads in shame We've been so occupied with our own wants and our own desires and our own wills and what we want and what we want to do, we've neglected the very heart of God. We have turned away from a love that is steady, that is pure, that's perfect, that's eternal. And too often we're governed by what men say and what men think. And we think more about the plaudits of men and the desires of men and the reactions of men to us than we do concerning the living God to whom we've been joined. Oh, Christian friend, may I plead with you wherever you are, under whatever circumstances you may be, to show forth the virtues of our wonderful Savior, the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Somebody said we're both trumpets and mirrors. As a trumpet we blow forth the truth as it is in Christ, and as mirrors our lives are to display the virtues of Christ. Why? Because we're his people. Listen, friend, this is what God wants of you and me. I would like to go on in the next few verses which deals with the character of this new race, but I think I better stop right here today. In time past, we were nothing. Sinners, children of wrath. We weren't even counted as the people of God. And I think he has the Gentiles in mind when he says this. We were without Christ and without hope and without God. We had nothing. Absolutely just fit for judgment. And he came into our lives, and he transformed us, and he forgave us, and he cleansed us, and he put his life in us, and he made us partakers of the divine nature, and we were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit came in and possessed us and sealed us and baptized us into the body of Christ. And he became the object of his love and his affection. And what have we done? God has poured out his life for us. He keeps us every second of the day, prays for us continually. We're never out of his thoughts. We're never out of his heart. What have we done? We've gone our own way. We're like Israel. We boast about the living God and do nothing for him. Oh, Christian friend, may I plead with you today, because as we today manifest, show forth the virtues of our Savior who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, we who were once not a people of God but now are the people of God, do you not think it's high time for us to get down to business and become trumpets to show forth the Word of God and to become mirrors so that our actions, our words, our attitude, our very relationship to people will bring praise and honor and glory to our wonderful Savior? Remember, Jesus is wonderful to the Father. To God the Father, he is the precious one. Is he the precious one to you? May God grant this may be so. And dear Father, we pray that as we look up to thee today, you'll make these things very precious and very real. We confess how much we have failed thee, how much we have shut off the testimony of the gospel in various ways. We pray that as a holy priesthood, as a royal priesthood, as a people who are now yours by possession and by purchase, we might show forth the virtues of our Savior. We might fall in love with him, and may he become exceeding precious to each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name.